to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas to all. But of course, liberals have this backlash going against Christians and Christmas. In fact, even the Christmas tree. Well, a certain pine tree, they claim, disproves the Bible because of the rings, the annual rings, in very old pine trees in California. They say they can prove that the Bible's chronology of a young earth and a recent Noah's flood, a global flood, cannot be true based on the rings, tree rings, in pine trees in California. So we will disprove that argument in this show. But first, you know, I'd like to say Merry Christmas to everyone. And I know that there is this anti-Christian, anti-Christmas attitude out there among liberals. So I said to my producer, let's play a few Christmas carols. And he said, no, we can't do that. Well, maybe the government will cancel our show. So I said, well, you put something together and just don't get me in trouble. So he said he's got it. Let me hear it. What do you got?
Just like the ones I used to know. Come, they told me, pa-rum-pum-pum-pum, a newborn came to see, pa-rum-pum-pum-pum.
It's the best time of the year.
Silent night, holy night.
Oh, come, Emmanuel, and ransom captive.
So I'm offering this simple phrase to kids from 1 to 92. Although it's been said many times, many ways, Merry Christmas to
not bad, not bad. Hey, we got a good producer around here, don't we? Okay, so hopefully we won't get in trouble for that, but maybe we'll get in trouble for this. Now, atheists and evolutionists, they need the earth to be millions, billions of years old for their hopeful monster theory that through random occurrences, life would begin on Earth, and then through natural selection, that life would evolve from the goo to the zoo to you, right? That's what evolutionists, atheists, liberals think. And we say, well, the evidence is that the Earth is not millions or billions of years old. It's young. It's like less than 10,000 years old. God created Adam and Eve, especially, and back about 5,000 some years ago, Noah's flood, a global flood, wiped out life on the earth and has carved the surface features of the earth. And the liberals laugh at that, of course. And so they try to come up with evidence to prove that we're wrong. And we attempt to refute that evidence and come up with our own evidence. So for some years in California, they have argued that the bristlecone pine tree. Now, most Christmas trees are pines, is that right? Oh, and firs. Firs and pines. You know, in America, there are about 33 million real Christmas trees sold every year. About 33 million. That's pretty cool. 33 million. Guess how many people have Christmas tree farms? Or how many Christmas tree growers there are in America? There are about 21,000. It's an amazing what an economy does and how it functions. It's really cool. I like it. Yeah, so obviously we're in the wrong business, right? We should be selling Christmas trees. But Christmas trees are either pines or firs, right? Like Scotch pine and white pine, Douglas fir, so on. Well, these bristlecone pines in California in the White Mountains, it has been argued for quite a few years now that they have tree standing. The oldest trees there, thousands of years old, with one named Methuselah, said to be about 4,600 years old. That's pretty old. And you might think, well, that doesn't cause a problem for the biblical chronology, because Noah's flood, that could have started growing some centuries after Noah's flood. That's true, but scientists, they do this, and this is brilliant. This is really neat. They take the rings from these trees, and they match them up with rings from dead trees. They have trees that have been fallen. They're on the ground. You know, I've fallen and I can't get up. That reminds me around here in the studio. It's like, I'm talking and I can't shut up. I'm talking and I can't shut up. These trees are on the ground, and rings have a pattern. You know, when there's more water, you get healthier, thicker rings. When there's less water, a drought, you get thinner rings. And so they say when you look at that pattern, it's sort of like a fingerprint for what trees were growing in what century. And you should be able to match up those patterns, generally speaking. And they do this with a computer database. They have this master chronology, and they argue that when you do that, you could trace the chronology. What do they call it? Dendrochronology? Dating based on trees. You can take that back over 8,000 years. Now, that gives us a problem, because Noah's flood was not 8,000 years ago. It was more recent. And so for the last few years, when people ask me, what's the best evidence against your young earth position? I've had a couple answers. One of the answers I've given is, well, bristlecone pines in California, they're claimed that they can trace back their growing in this forest about 8,500 years. So that's pretty good evidence that we're wrong, except that I believe the Bible is accurate and it's the Word of God. And so I imagine we don't quite understand it. And my best guess is that multiple rings have grown per year in these trees. That's my best guess, because in their master chronology, they have trees where they say, look here, this tree has a missing ring. There's a missing ring in this tree. And then we ask the question, why do you say that's a missing ring? Maybe in the other trees, they grew an extra ring. So now an article has come out in the Journal of Creation out of Australia. Fabulous journal. This is a different journal than the one Fred Williams and I talk about, Creation Research Society Quarterly. That's a great journal. This one is great, too. And their lead article in here on the front cover is Bristlecone Pines. And boy, do they nail it. They nail it so well, it will blow your mind. Now, at the White Mountains of Eastern California, where these bristlecone pines supposedly grow for thousands of years, and they lay on the floor of the forest on these hills for thousands of years without decaying. And that's weird, right? Right off the bat, you look at that and you think, well, that's weird. Well, there is overwhelming evidence that they grow multiple rings per year, and we are beginning to understand why they do that. And so I'd like to share some of that with you. When trees are receiving basically enough water to have a normal growing season, they form these rings on the outside of the tree. They form a new layer of wood. Plant cells will divide, and as they divide, that outer layer will get thicker. And then at the end of the growing season, those cells get thinner and thinner and thinner, the new ones, until they form like a barrier to protect that growing season's worth of ring. So you look at a tree ring when you cut a tree across, cross section, and you look at it, and the rings are like light and dark, light and dark. There's a pattern, light and dark. So where does the ring start? Where does it stop? It starts with the light color, and the darkness, the dark part of the ring, is the end of the ring. And so that dark part of the ring is where the plant cells are very small and very dense, and they form a better barrier. Apparently, they form a better barrier to keep the water inside the tree and for the water not to leach out of the tree through the bark. Okay? So what they have found out is that when trees, and this is not only creationists, this is also secular botanists, for example, who publish on the multiplicity of growth layers in trees in 1 year, and one of the references in this article is from the Smithsonian Miscellaneous Collections on tree growth, but that trees, when they're in a drought-like situation or they have a hard time getting water, they will produce multiple rings per year. And so when they find a patch of these bristlecone pine in the White Mountains of California, when they look at the center of the patch where the growing conditions are best, the trees have way fewer rings, as in only hundreds of rings. In the White Mountains where the trees grow best, picture on a hillside, you got a patch of trees. Sort of like with aspens in Colorado, right? They grow and you have dozens or hundreds of them in a clump, in a patch of trees. Well, the trees in the center for these bristlecone pines have the fewest number of rings so that they look like they're only hundreds of years old. As you go out toward the edges of the patch on the circumference of it, where it's becoming harder and harder for these trees to live because of the very rocky terrain, very little soil, very little moisture, one of the driest places in the world. It turns out that the trees on the edges of the patch of trees have way more rings than the trees in the middle. Now, why would that be? It's because they have a more difficult time surviving. They're on the edge, the threshold of survivability. So, secular scientists have published that when trees have a hard time getting water, they could produce multiple rings per year. And when they do that, that multiplicity, those rings tend to be very narrow. In fact, so narrow, it's often hard to tell them apart without a microscope. Very narrow and partial rings, where one or two or three rings join into one ring, or one ring splits into two or three. When you look at the bristlecone pines in the White Mountains of California, the old trees overwhelmingly are marked with extremely thin rings and partial rings. So much so that so many of those rings are so thin that they're only three or four plant cells thick. Some of them are only two cells. Some of them, many of them, are only one cell thick. That's about as thin a ring as you can get. That is as thin a ring as you could get, a one-celled ring. And so what we now can understand that's happening with these bristlecone pines is that they are growing in one of the driest places on Earth, the White Mountains of Eastern California, and they're growing in mountains where there is virtually no soil. There's no soil. And so it's very difficult for these trees to get water. Even when it rains, which is extremely rare, they get very little precipitation, and most of that is snow. And when they do get precipitation, there's no soil to hold the water. So the water is there, it's fleeting, and then it's gone. And so these trees, in order to try to conserve water, God designed them so that they would make multiple rings per year, because the outer edge of each ring does the best job as a barrier to keep the water inside the tree and not lose the water by evaporation through the bark. So that is pretty neat. That's pretty neat. And the fact that the trees on the inside of a patch of trees have way fewer rings than the trees on the edges, that, and there's so many other arguments and explanations and pieces of evidence in this article in the Journal of Creation, the current issue, that it has answered that question for me that I've had and I've given. Now, when people have asked me, what's your best evidence against the young earth creation? I give a couple arguments, like I've said that it seems that we should find many human remains in flood deposits. Seems to me. Now, creationists have quite a few arguments as to why you might not find very many human remains. For one, humans are mammals. And about 99% or so of the fossil record is marine. So that's one reason. But still, it seems like we should find many more human remains. And then there are other arguments, and there are quite a few arguments about why we would not find many human remains in flood deposits. So that's one argument. Another that I thought was even better was the bristlecone pine chronology, because they said, hey, look, here's proof. We could take these pine trees in this forest back 8,500 years, and that blows Noah's global flood out of the water. Pardon the pun. And so I've said, you know, it seems to me that these trees probably would grow multiple rings per year, but I don't have the proof of that, but it seems that's the case. There's hints to that effect. When the master chronology of these scientists, they indicate missing rings, but not extra rings. So that seemed to be a bias built into their data. Also, when you look at the wood that's laying on the floor of these White Mountains, and they say, well, this chunk of wood right here, this goes back to 7,000 years old. This goes back to 8,000 years old, this other log over here, because we match up the rings. And this goes back to 8,500 years. There's no real pattern of deterioration in the wood that's laying on the floor of the forest. And you would think just naturally it would be, you know, the older logs would be visibly much older. Why not? And so the evolutionists say, well, these trees, they must have a certain combination of resin and chemistry that keeps their wood from rotting away. Except that in order for these trees to survive, they have this design feature where if there's not enough water to water the whole tree, because as a tree gets bigger, think about it, every new ring adds a tremendous amount of new bark space through which water will evaporate. So the trees, as they grow, they need more water every year. And if you're in an arid area, well, the tree doesn't have the opportunity to just pull in more water through its roots. So what happens is the bark on the tree starts to die. The bark will die on a portion of the tree. Like at first, maybe a quarter of the bark around a tree will die. And when you look at the rings formed at that point where the dieback occurred, where the bark died at that point, the rings had become very thin. Partial rings, like obviously strained, and then the bark dies back, and then the rings are thick and healthy. And then if, once again, the tree's not getting enough water because it's getting too big, more of the bark will die back. And it is so fascinating what you could learn as a creationist when you look and the atheists say, oh, look, here's the proof. The Bible's wrong. So we say, okay, let's look into it. Let's explore it. Let's understand it. Young Earth creationists don't hide from the data, the evidence, the challenges, as some other Christian radio show might suggest on this station. We don't. I've never met a group of people who are more eager to look at the evidence that's claimed that refutes their position. Young Earth creationists are awesome in their willingness to look at the data. And so I've been teaching my kids about these tree rings and what we learn and how God put in this design mechanism that the rings, when the growing season is over, the plant cells begin to form differently so that they put up a barrier so the tree doesn't lose a lot of moisture through the winter or through the dry season. And so now we understand why bristlecone pines have thousands of rings in trees that are only centuries old. Because the bristlecone pines that are growing down in the valley, in the same area, but just down where there is actual soil, none of those trees are old. They're not old because the soil holds the water. And they're not in that crisis. So it's exciting. There's a lot more evidence in this article that you could get if you just sign up. You could go online and just Google Journal of Creation, and it is absolutely fascinating. In fact, you could go to their website, creationontheweb.com. There is so much great information out there for creationists. It's a lot of fun. And so, no, pine trees cannot be used to disprove the chronology of the Bible. Can't be used. Okay, now, in Kansas, you guys probably heard the news that the abortionist, George Tiller, late-term abortionist in Wichita, was charged with 30 counts of failure to report suspected child sexual abuse when he performed abortions on young girls 13, 14, 15 years of age and did not report suspected sexual child abuse. It's statutory rape. And Phil Klein, the pro-life attorney general of Kansas, had been working actually for a couple of years to get the medical records from Tiller's clinic and from Planned Parenthood in Kansas to be able to investigate to see if the charges, the rumors about him were true. Well, he finally got the medical records a few months ago. And sure enough, Tiller was doing abortions on young girls without reporting suspected child abuse. I mean, the girl could either have been raped or incest committed by an uncle or a stepfather or a mother's boyfriend. And he'll just abort the baby and send the girl back home with the man who raped her. That's the typical procedure of the abortion industry. That's what they do. That's what abortion for rape and incest is. That's the primary effect of abortion for rape and incest for young girls. Okay. So Phil Klein lost his reelection bid in November. So he was booted out by the voters of Kansas. Because why? Because they're mid-America. They're traditional family values kind of farmers, and they're a bunch of pro-aborts. That's what America, we have pro-lifers, we have Republican cheerleaders on the radio who tell us we're winning, we're winning, we're winning. We have pro-lifers who tell us we're winning, we're winning, when the American public is vastly more pro-abortion today than it was in 1973 or 75 or 80. It's radically pro-abortion. In Colorado, the voting public voted to keep legal partial birth abortion of all things. So anyway, Phil Klein lost the election, but he's still a prosecutor because he got basically offered another job, and he filed charges in that capacity as a local DA against George Tiller. Now, he needed to get permission from the DA in the county that Tiller was in. He claims, I'm sure he's telling the truth, that he met with his DA, Nola Folston, for an hour. 2 days ago, she gave him permission to charge Tiller. He charged Tiller, and then today, she called a press conference, and she vacated the charges. And basically, now, Phil Klein is being attacked as out of control. And, you know, he's a hero. Phil Klein is a hero. He's basically sacrificed himself in an effort to expose how wicked the abortionists are. And he's a hero. And Christians, by the millions, have been convinced that the only way that we're going to stop abortion is when our judges and our lawyers are willing to compromise on do not murder. And then they stay in office and they get more and more power and they compromise more and more and they get more and more power. And then one day they'll stop abortion. But the problem with that is the more they compromise, the more comfortable they become with abortion. And that's why, according to Dr. Charles Rice, a law professor of Notre Dame, that not one of the U.S. Supreme Court justices who have ruled or spoken, testified on the issue of abortion, have indicated that they're pro-life. They believe not in the personhood of the child, but that if you follow the process, you can legally kill an unborn child. Just follow the process. So Phil Klein has been a hero. And it might be that in order to stop abortion, we need to have 100 Christian pro-life judges kicked out of office. That might be the path to stopping abortion. It might be. That's way more likely the path to stopping abortion than have 100 Christian pro-life judges rule that abortion is okay as long as you follow the process. Do you see the moral relativism that's inherent in the pro-life strategy? So here at Bobbinert Live, we'll fight the fight against whoever comes against God and His Word, whether they're atheists, homosexuals, evolutionists, pro-aborts, socialists, you could name the group. And as we fight the fight, we have to honor God and not compromise on His Word or on His principles, and especially never on God's enduring command, do not murder. So, Merry Christmas, everybody. Hey, it's Christmas time, but we're in the middle of a fight. In the middle of the fight, Jesus came as a baby, and in America, they're killing unborn kids by the thousands a day. But the next time Jesus comes, it's not going to be as a baby. It's as a victor riding on a white horse with a sword to destroy those who will not obey Him. Jesus said in the Gospels, bring them here, those enemies of mine who would not obey me, and slay them before me. Wow. You haven't read that in the Bible? Just read the Bible a little more. It's a lot of fun. Hey, the Olive Branch Christian Bookstore at Ward Road and 64th in Arvada, and Maranatha Christian Center. What a neat school, Maranatha. And check out our website, kgov, kgov.com.